WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israel reportedly learned of Hamas's October 7th attack long before it took place, and Israelis were taken hostage. CBS's Tom Foti with the latest.
The New York Times reports Israeli officials actually obtained the Hamas battle plan for the October 7th terrorist attack more than a year before it was carried out. The Times says on some level it was dismissed as too difficult for Hamas to carry out. Bilal Saab is a senior fellow with the Middle East Institute.
This was more an intelligence failure when it came to imagination, frankly. The Israelis didn't believe that Hamas would pull off something so spectacular and so successful.
The Times says it's unclear whether Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or other top political leaders saw the document. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
An investigation is underway after allegations of drinking on the job at a secret saloon on a military base responsible for protecting and defending the homeland. CBS's Catherine Herridge was the first to report the probe and explains why the allegations have national security implications after initially being raised in February when the U.S. military shot down a Chinese balloon.
Before the balloon incident, sources say concerns about alleged day drinking were raised with senior leadership. General Glenn Van Herk, who leads the command, responded in a telephone interview.
I've been here since August of 2020, and all I can tell you that nobody has come to me and expressed concern about the consumption of alcohol in the workspace.
In July, a two-star Army General, Joseph Listorti, whose boss was Van Herk and was known not to tolerate drinking in the workplace, was removed from his position.
An investigation is underway after allegations of drinking on the job, and we just mentioned that one, but the Ohio is what we want to mention, is the first state to report an outbreak of pediatric pneumonia cases, and CBS's Meg Oliver has more on white lung syndrome.
In Warren County, north of Cincinnati, health officials have declared an outbreak of pneumonia in children. They say 145 kids have been diagnosed with the respiratory infection since August. The average age of these patients is 8 years old. The declaration comes as China is in the midst of its own outbreak. The U.S. is trying to avoid hospital wards filled to capacity, with doctors seeing a rise in several known respiratory illnesses.
The U.S. House is expected to vote tomorrow on whether to expel Republican George Santos after an ethics committee published a report alleging numerous ethics violations by the congressman from New York. GOP House Ethics Committee Chairman Michael Guest put forth the motion to expel Santos.
We know that Mr. Santos lied about his education, both graduate and postgraduate, claiming that he attended universities where he was never enrolled, claiming that he obtained degrees that he did not earn.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Tournament time in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament getting underway tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badgers, with a record of 26-3, take on Jackson State. It's been an exciting journey, says head coach Kelly Sheffield.
You know, our wins against Nebraska or Iowa, we can talk about the draw. We're certainly excited about the draw and being able to host here opening weekend. talk about Jackson State, we can go a lot of different directions. So just a great time of year.
Baseball, Devin Williams named the National League's best relief pitcher of the year. The Brewers closer had 36 saves in 61 games this season. NFL, the Packers host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, there's not many quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes out there, and you combine him with guys like Travis Kelce. That's one of the best combinations in all of the National Football League.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, high mid-30s. Mostly cloudy and upper 30s for the weekend with a brief rain or snow shower possible Saturday night into Sunday morning. Currently 29 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I go back to the email that I started the program with, William saying that nobody's paying attention, no one cares, no one's listening to the struggles of average, everyday working people. And look, I think he truly puts blame where it belongs on the bad policies that have come out of conservative ideology, the tax cuts, the deregulation, the bad trade deals, all of this stuff that have harmed workers so greatly. But I'm telling you, there are people out there who are trying, people who do care. And one of those folks is my next guest. He's in my state, my Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in the southwestern part. We'll forgive him for that. But he's in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, on part of the Great Economy Tour that they're doing and talking with people in the southwestern part of the state. That's why I've asked Morris Pearl. He's the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires to come share some thoughts. Morris, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for being your show, Rick. Thank you.
So how are things in the beautiful southwest of our Commonwealth?
Well, got some people who are not happy here. They're not happy with everything from NAFTA to the fact that people like me don't pay any taxes the way they do. I went, got about 40 people in a room, got a catered dinner in the back room of the Mount Pleasant Volunteer Firefighters Club, and gave them dinner and talked to them about taxes for an hour or so, and told them why it is that our tax system is organized, frankly, by both Democrats and Republicans over the years, with the idea you have to appease the rich. They think that, oh, the rich people will go on strike. I don't know what they think will go on strike from, but, oh, we have to appease the rich people. We can't charge them taxes. Oh, investment income, we can't tax that. We can only tax income from labor, from people working. And that's not the way it has to be. That's the way it is, but that's not the way it has to be. And that's what we told the people, that they can change it if they get their elected representatives to want to change it, or if they get different elected representatives who will want to change it, because it can be different.
And what kind of response did you get?
Frankly, everybody in the room was on our side and said yes. And I was told to expect, you know, a lot of conservatives, a lot of Trump voters, a lot of people who would argue with me. Nobody argued. One person came up with it. One person who owned the hotel where some of our people were staying and said, well, but if I sell my place, I'll have, and if I get more than $500,000 in profit, I'll have to pay part of that profit to taxes. And I don't like paying taxes. And I told her, if she's making over $500,000 profit on selling her place, yeah, she can pay some taxes. But frankly, all those people agreed with us.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to people, common sense, you know, maybe they kind of buy it, which is why we haven't had these conversations very often.
We need to go explain these things to people. It's not like it wasn't like written by God on stone tablets that you have to be poor so other people can be rich.
I don't know. I think Ronald Reagan said it. I think, you know, you got to give the rich people all the money and it'll trickle down.
Yeah. And I try to explain to people how actually it trickles up to people like me when they make their mortgage payments or their rent payment or their iPhone payment or their electric bill payment. That money, little bits of it, trickles up to those companies and to their shareholders. And people that own stock in Apple and Verizon get rich that way. And that's how I make money.
Yeah, but you've picked an issue that should be, you know, when you're talking to working people, nonpartisan. It should be one of those things where you go, well, of course, the people who have all the money should be paying some more of the taxes. Of course, we need to have some kind of policies to ensure that we get the things that we need, healthcare, education, infrastructure, military. You know, we can go down the list of all the things that we need. It's just a matter of, you know, how you get the resources to pay for it. And when you have a system that's based on, well, the winners are walking away with all of the wealth, that's a problem.
It should be nonpartisan. And partially it is nonpartisan in that we can blame people from all different parties for this problem we're in.
No, I agree.
No party's been perfect.
No, we were sold the idea that if we give the rich people all the money, people like you, that you're smart. And I don't question that you're not smart, but that you'll use the money in the best interests of all of us. And that's the part where I disagree, because I think you're going to use the resources in the best interests of, well, of you.
Well, yeah. And I have a lot of, I buy stock, I invest in the stock market, and hopefully the stocks will do well and I'll have money for my retirement. And how that's going to do you any good is an open question, you know? I mean, and sure, I can give away some of my money. I do give away some of my money, but it's not like it somehow trickles down to everybody else. You know, yeah, I maybe give larger tips than most people do at restaurants. By a little. But, you know, I think we need something more organized than that. I think we need actual policies of the government,
right,
to help people and not just depend on me sort of once in a while giving a big tip to an Uber driver or something and letting money trickle down that way.
But here's the thing, and this is where it comes back to, this is all structural. The fact of the matter is the wealthy know how to lobby and get what they want. They know how to use our political system to assure that they don't get held accountable. And understand, there's a court case right now, and I know you know this as well as anyone, this Moore case that's in front of the Supreme Court that could preemptively kill any idea of a wealth tax. And as you know, Elizabeth Warren, you know, in her 2020, she campaigned on the idea of a wealth tax. We don't have one. But this case could preemptively kill any talk of potentially down the road any kind of wealth tax whatsoever.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't. You know, we've been trying to talk about this enough, and we actually quoted in the Washington Post on the front page the day before yesterday. And hopefully the justices will be maybe even ashamed of their outrageous ideas and not kill a wealth tax.
Are justices ashamed? Really? You know, the guy who's, you know, basically on Harlan Kerr's payroll, where you think he's going to be ashamed?
Maybe a few of them. They did vote to subpoena Harlan Crow today.
But yeah.
We need more people like Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
You know, her protege Katie Porter is running for Senate in California. I've been supporting her. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is just so special. I was in the Senate Finance Committee testifying. I'm sure I told you about this a week or two ago.
Right.
And just 2 hours after the hearing started, this door opened and Elizabeth Warren walked the door. You could just see everybody just sort of start and look up and, you know, sit straighter. And just seeing her walk across the room just energized people a little bit. And that's the energy we need. Somebody who will actually stand there and say that we should tax these wealthy people who don't pay any taxes because they don't have any income. They're just billionaires.
No, you're right. She is
a billionaire.
She's a rock star. I've had the opportunity to meet her on a number of occasions. And when she comes into a room, everyone's drawn to her. But that's not how we shouldn't be depending on that. What we should be doing is we should be drawn to this issue, and we should be demanding, Elizabeth Warren and others to be doing this, not waiting for them to lead us to the promised land. This is something that we should be fighting for.
Yeah, we need not a few rock stars. We need people calling their congresspeople and telling them to not stop putting up with this bullshit about trickle down and make the rich people pay taxes. And if everybody starts calling their congresspeople and tell them that we are not going to vote for people who are against taxing the rich, it'll happen.
So I'm sure you had a very long hour in talking with folks. What are you telling them is the solution? Look, everyone knows the problem. Everyone knows that, at least I think everyone knows, that we have a wealth class that we have created through our sacrifice and our struggle. What's the marching orders then? What do you say is the direction forward? It's easy to point out the problem. It's easy to be the guy pointing the finger. It's a lot harder to be the guy coming along with the shovel to pick up the you-know-what on the other end.
I'll tell you what part of the problem is: the fact that the rich people, the Republicans, have convinced so many people that they have more in common with the billionaires than with their neighbors. Everyone is afraid that, I'm going to be a billionaire someday, so we better not tax billionaires. I'll have to pay that.
I don't even know that it's even just billionaires, Morris. I think I've got guys I work with who still believe that when they die, they're going to be taxed. I believe the right-wing message machine has been so powerful. I believe the talk radio has been so powerful that we've tried to compete in. And I think that people have been fed a whole line of you-know-what, and they've bought it. Because there was nobody telling them, no, you're not, you make it $50,000 a year, you're not going to pay an estate tax unless you've got an estate over $20 million, or what is it, $11 million?
Yeah, $11 million per person right now.
Yeah, unless you got $11 million stuffed under the mattress, you're not paying an estate tax if you're making 50 grand a year.
Yeah, it's just, they're afraid, they believe that what's happening to the rich people is happening. Even when I was in the Senate, I started talking about bills to tax people who are billionaires. And they said, but rich people pay all the taxes now. Well, yeah, if you define rich as meaning more than the median income, yeah, they do pay all the taxes now.
But the response to that, Morris, is they have all the money.
They do. But yeah, the difference is the Republicans try to say, they try to tell half the country you are the rich people that the Democrats are going after. When really we're talking about even a fraction of 1% of the people are the ones that we think should pay more taxes. And that's the problem. The Republicans have convinced almost everybody in the country that they're rich because they're a little bit richer than some neighbor they have. And they say, the Democrats are trying to tax you because you have a tiny bit more money than your neighbor. And that's what we're fighting against, is this idea that everyone thinks they're rich because the Republicans have told them you are the rich people and you should be happy.
Well, I got to tell you, I give you guys credit for going out and getting your hands dirty, getting out into the neighborhoods and talking with people and doing the hard work of organizing. I'm hoping it bears fruit, and I'm hoping that we in the working class wake up to the reality that we have been getting screwed for a very long time. But Morris, as always, I appreciate the time. Great having you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you so much. Our good friend Morris Pearl. He's the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires. Make sure you check out their website, patrioticmillionaires.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come the talk.
We'll be right back. We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, I think the work that they do is really important over at the Patriotic Millionaires. You know, pointing out the fact that the tax code is rigged. I mean, look, Warren Buffett said, look, you know, it's class warfare and my class is winning, but we shouldn't be. They have all the money, but we've out-procreated them. How is it that they got us to vote for them to get tax breaks? I'm still trying to figure that trick out. Still trying to figure it out. I know. Someday. When I'm tinkering in my garage, I'm going to be the next gazillionaire. And look, you know, I would love to pay 95%, you know, tax like they did back in the old days, because it would mean I had lots of money. Let's go to the phones. We got Jack from Wisconsin on line one. Jack, how are you today?
Just teaching you. I got this call an observation.
Hit me.
Something. Sold on this trickle-down idea, believe that they're going to end up in the top 1%. There's something wrong with that numbering system.
Yeah. Yeah, not all of us can be in the top 1%. You're right.
Well, and you know, when 15 or 20% are figuring they're going to be in the top 1%, like I say, the math just doesn't quite work.
Yeah, somebody's disappointed.
You think? The other half of this is the hypocrisy that, or irony, I guess I'd call it, that the folks that do vote for people that give trillions away to billionaires, they're first of all, you know, told, well, you're a little bit richer than the next guy, so you're among the rich people that if we tax the really rich people, you're going to get taxed. And yet they're told, oh, but you got it. The economy is just so shaky, and the immigrants are, the illegals are coming in to take your job. What's wrong with that picture?
It's all about the fear. It's all about the fear, Jack. And you know that as well as anyone. As long as they can, we're going to take your stuff, and it's going to be them going to do it. You'll be pliable.
Yeah, it's the old us versus them, and... Yeah, if it isn't the illegals, then it's the Hispanics that are citizens, or it's the gays, or, you know, it's the old divide and conquer Scott Walker trick, actually, if you go back that far.
No, it goes back even further. It goes back to, you know, the Jay Gould, I can pay half the working class to murder the other half.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember that quote, too. And I'm not an economist.
I appreciate the thoughts, Jack. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
No, look, at the end of the day, you know, Jack's right. I mean, you know, we're not all going to get into the 1%. The math just, that's a simple way to put it. The math just doesn't add up. It sounds like a Yogi Berra-ism. Where's Yogi when we need him? No, but, you know, and look, I've talked to people who truly believe, you know, someday I'm going to make all this money and I'm not going to, I don't want to pay taxes. And look, nobody really wants to pay taxes. It's part of it's the price of admission. And the folks who have this almost immeasurable wealth in some cases, they use the system a lot more than the rest of us and don't want to pay for that either. They made their money off the backs of investments from past generations. They made their money off the backs of working people making sacrifices. And I think we had better figure that out quickly. Because we didn't really get into it with Representative Takano, but you know, this idea that the new technologies are coming online, you know, the person who figures out, you know, how to, you know, harness that technology and then eliminate, you know, millions of jobs, they're going to be the next gazillionaire. As Representative Takano said, look, they believe the country's first trillionaire has already been born. It's just a matter of how much sacrifice from working people will it take to get that person to $1 trillion. And, you know, it's every so often someone sends me the cartoon of an empty plate of cookies, or, you know, there's one cookie on the plate, and, you know, the rich guy who's got the other 9 cookies in his hands going, hey, you know, that guy over there's going to take your cookie, when he's walking away with 9/10 of it. Now, you go back to my grandparents' generation, and this is where, you know, earlier William had talked about, you know, we had an economy that was somewhat balanced. You had, you know, pretty broad shared prosperity, not for absolutely everyone, and you have to identify that minorities were really kept out of a lot of it. But as a country, you had, you know, a large middle class. You had a prosperous working class. And you didn't have gazillionaires because you had a 92% top marginal tax rate, which meant, and if I remember the math, if the numbers come back to me, which in today's dollars, if you were making more than $1.6 million back then, that dollar over $1.6 million was taxed at 92%. And what that did is it discouraged people from paying CEOs or themselves all that money. They simply used their profits in different ways. They built hospitals, they built schools, they built auditoriums, they dedicated things to themselves, they put their names all over everything, which is fine. You know, Carnegie built libraries all over the place to give himself a legacy of not being a complete and total a-hole. But they did a lot of that stuff to avoid paying taxes, because they believed that they could use the money better than our government could. And we can argue over whether that's true or not. But the money was still used in our society. It still made the lives of we the people better, because the resources, the wealth that our labor was creating was being put back into the business, into the community, into health, education, whatever. Not saddling our generations, future generations with massive, you know, structural debt, student loan debt, you name it, debt. We had a more equal economy because we had a tax code that made sense. And it goes back to the other, I liken it back to the days in the cave. The bigger the shoulders, the stronger you are, the more water you carried back to the cave. That's simple. From what much is given, much is expected. I don't think that's hard to understand, but, you know, again, having gone through greed is good, hooray for me, the one who dies with the most toys, that nonsense of the 80s, that's internalized. So you get rich people who think that they're better than everyone else and entitled to more. And it doesn't, the numbers don't matter. The amount of money doesn't matter. It's like I said earlier, it's what the money says. I'm special. I'm important. I'm smart. And I look at Elon Musk, one of the richest men in the world. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Elon lately. Gotta be questioning the smart part. Knows what to get involved in, knows what businesses to get behind. But when he opens his mouth, kind of got to wonder. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do answer all emails personally. I got to get to this because this just blew my mind. On the greed front, American Public Education. Yes, this is a corporation. It's called American Public Education Incorporated. Their board has authorized $8 million in stock buybacks. Now, this is in addition to the $8 million that they did earlier in the year in stock repurchases, stock buybacks. What I found interesting is American Public Education Incorporated. Do you think it's actually public education? According to Wikipedia, American public university systems, which is the big part of American Public Education Incorporated, is a private, for-profit online university system. Nothing public about it unless you count all the GI Bill money that's gone into their pockets. Now, their goal is they're a leading education services provider that offers respective, innovative, and affordable educational programs and services through its wholly owned subsidiary, American Public University Systems, which encompasses the American Public University, which is not public, the American Military University, which is not the military, Honduras College of Nursing, and Rasmussen University, and a graduate school.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israeli officials reportedly learned of Hamas's plan for the October 7th terror attack more than a year earlier and dismissed it, according to the New York Times. The Middle East Institute's Bilal Saab.
This is quite embarrassing. And in many ways, it suggests the failure of Bibi Netanyahu's government to deal with something like this, despite the fact that they had all sorts of signs, all sorts of intelligence to actually act on it.
An investigation is underway after allegations of day drinking on the job on a military base responsible for protecting and defending the homeland. CBS's Catherine Harris.
Alcohol is not totally banned in military commands, but there is an approvals process, and whether that was done here is part of the investigation.
Ohio reports an outbreak of pediatric pneumonia cases. CBS's Meg Oliver.
Doctors say in most cases, bacterial pneumonia can be treated with antibiotics and doesn't require hospitalization. And while some communities are seeing an uptick in cases, keep in mind we are in the middle of cold and flu season.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Keller Royce is also interested. A vote is expected by the end of the day on Friday. President Biden does better with likely voters in recent polls, while Donald Trump does better with less than likely voters, assuming that's the presidential matchup next year. Pollster Charles Franklin.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, high mid-30s. Mostly cloudy and upper 30s for the weekend with a brief rain or snow shower possible Saturday night into Sunday morning. Currently 29 degrees.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5, The Tap.
Groups that disobey
This is Jim Hightower saying, these attacks are silly because they are silly, and also because they're attacking the future. To work for yard sanity and choice, go to rewild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, I'm still stuck on the Hunter Biden thing. The fact that Hunter Biden jammed it right up James Comer's well. And look, I'm right with Hunter Biden. You want me to testify? You want to hear from me in public where everyone's watching, and you can't then go outside the closed doors and make stuff up. You can't lie. And I think that's what really got Comer all upset. And here to share some thoughts on, will Comer get over it, or is he still a little chafe? That's why I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. So what do you make of this? Do you find it as funny as I do that Hunter Biden has been silent kind of all this time and then finally just go, fine, you want me to testify in public?
Right up the Comer on that one. The thing that I love, and we found out in some of the documents that the letter that Hunter Biden's lawyer sent out in response to Comer, and apparently he's offered to testify twice before. So it isn't even just that. Like, he's already said twice to Comer, look, I'll come in, I'll talk to you, whatever you want. And even like a couple of weeks ago, Comer was talking about, yeah, come into the hearing room. We'll testify beside each other. You can ask me questions. I'll ask you questions. And he seems totally open to this idea of having a hearing in public. And then all of a sudden, when Hunter Biden was like, yeah, but I'm doing this in public. And they were just like, oh, no, we can't do that. And even like some of the Republicans that were on the oversight committee kind of freaked out a little bit because they had said, yes, Hunter Biden's going to come. He's going to tell the public what's going on. And then they found out, oh, crap, it's actually behind closed doors. And then they had to delete a bunch of tweets. And that whole day was just watching them fall all over themselves, trying to come up with some reason.
Yeah. What was interesting to me, and you watch a lot more media than I do because that's your gig. But it was interesting to me watching Fox News and others kind of trip over themselves on why it should be behind closed doors. And this is where you go. The news media wants something outside of their purview. They want something to happen that they can't see. When has that ever happened? And who wrote that script?
I mean, they really were falling all over themselves trying to figure something out. Because they desperately wanted to like give the benefit of the doubt to Comer and figure out some way to attack Hunter Biden. But after saying so many times, like, he needs to come forward, he needs to speak out, and finally he called their bluff and was like, yeah, no, we have to do it publicly. And I love it. I think it's the most hilarious thing. And the whole day was just a complete cluster. And, you know, he got Comered.
He got. We're now turning him into a. Okay, we're going to turn him into a verb. All right, you know. I'm not going to say what I was thinking, but let us move to the next thing. What happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene's resolution to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas? I thought this was a done deal. I thought this was her rally cry. What happened?
You know, I'm not really clear on what exactly happened, other than I think she supported the wrong speaker candidate.
Oops. Because,
right? Like, it seems like her relationship with Kevin McCarthy was such that she was cozying up to him, like trying to figure out how she could become more powerful. And then all of a sudden he was out and she didn't have the right horse in that race. And she has no relationship with Kevin, with MAGA Mike Johnson. And I think this idea of forcing a lot of the members into voting on these sort of performative BS actions, you know, there are 18 Republicans that are in Democratic seats, and they're just like, guys, like, we haven't passed any legitimate legislation all year. We're like, we got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And so I think Johnson was just like, yeah, okay, we'll have a vote on it. But Tim Emmer is the one who's kind of like shutting that down. And so I think they're going to end up having a vote in committee, but it's never going to go to the floor, to the whole floor.
Yeah, I mean, I look at her and I'm going, you know, she definitely picked the wrong horse because clearly her guy is now out. And Johnson is a religious zealot, which, you know, I gotta be honest. My view of him is, you know, looking at her going, no, you belong in the kitchen. And that's, I just don't see them meshing.
I definitely not. And I mean, I think too, Marge is having a rough time anyway because, you know, she published this book and it has just completely flopped. And so she kind of already looks like an embarrassment publicly because of that. And so now there's this thing and she, you know, has no real position in leadership anymore. And has, I mean, she's just kind of screwed and not in a good way.
Yeah. Not going there either. Just not doing it. Let's get into the soap operas. You know, as the George Santos turns, these are the days of our lives. No, wait, that's the wrong soap opera. Evidently, Matt Gaetz came to his, well, kind of came, maybe his defense. Thoughts on the as the Santos turns?
So this, I mean, here's the thing. It's really hard for me because when you have to deal with the news all week, like there are very few pleasures that I have in the day of my job. And George Santos is really it. Like I just love the complete cluster and foolishness of this man. And because I think it's hilarious. I know it's terrible for government. I know this is a really, really bad thing, but it's so funny. And it brings me so much joy. So kind of what happened today is he did this big press conference and just ended up looking like the biggest weirdo in the world. And then he started talking to a bunch of other press people throughout the day. So they were asking him all kinds of questions. When it finally came time for them to do the vote, he has Clay Higgins from Louisiana and Matt Gaetz from Florida. I don't know about the Clay Higgins part, but the Gaetz thing, like you have to understand, Gaetz still has an investigation going on in the ethics committee about him.
Yep.
The DOJ has said we're not going to prosecute him for sex trafficking, but they didn't say they were not going to they basically were just like, we're going to let this go for a bit, right? Unless something crazy happens and we could find some other, you know, witness who's willing to come forward and speak out in court and who's not already in prison. But ethics, you know, is still doing a really extensive investigation. They've been doing it for a couple of years now, right? Like it's this has been going on for a while.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if it's actually happening. It's taken that long.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. But the thing is that you kind of have to have that rule of unless somebody's convicted, we shouldn't expel them because it would apply to a whole heck of a lot of people.
Yeah, no,
and,
look.
I mean, definitely, and that's sort of what Gaetz said, but he is definitely one of them. Like, if they could expel anybody, it would be Matt Gaetz. They all hate him so much. He's like the Ted Cruz of Congress.
Another one with the most punchable face in Congress. But here's the thing, and I said this from the beginning, Democrats should not vote to expel him. That's a Republican problem. They should have to deal with their own problems. Stop bailing them out.
Absolutely. I'm of two minds. Like, yes, I enjoy the entertainment, but I do kind of feel like unless he's been convicted,
nope.
You know?
Yeah, no.
That's
look,
a really hard argument to make where it's like, yeah, if you end up being innocent, but you've been thrown out of Congress, that kind of makes Congress look petty and immature, which they are. But, you know, they try not to look like that in, you know, public.
Well, there is that. But, you know, the thing is what I love about, you know, a lot of this stuff, especially around Santos is, you know, all of the things that he's accused of that, you know, I love the projection because, you know, they tried to make Hunter Biden out to be this big grifter. And look, maybe he is. Maybe he is, you know, the nepotism poster child. But they can't find anything on Biden on Joe Biden because there's nothing. But I find it interesting that, you know, Comer's got some interesting financial dealings. You now see this story with, what is it, Andy Ogles, who's got some Oogles or whatever his name, Googles. He's got some interesting, you know, kind of money. It's for me, I want to see more of this following the money where these Republicans, where are they getting it? And they were talking big money. Where did George Santos get such a huge amount of money? I mean, the guy doesn't look like he could put two nickels together, let alone raise enough money to run a congressional campaign.
And that is a pretty substantial question for not just him, but like you said, Andy Ogles or whatever, the congressman from Tennessee, who I think loaned something like $320,000 to his campaign. And whenever they asked, you know, started looking at financial disclosure reports, the guy didn't have a checking account or a savings account. And so everybody's like, where did this money come from, bro?
He saved quarters. He saved his change.
You know, maybe. Except I'm pretty sure that, like, my grandpa had a closet full of jars, lots of coffee cans of change. And even at his peak collection stage, it still was, like, not over a couple grand.
Yeah, and no, I got a big giant piggy bank back here. It's a big square, says Union Yes on it. It's one of the glass blocks that someone made into a piggy bank. It's full. It's probably got about $350 in it. Not $320,000. I wish it did. I wish I could find that magic piggy bank.
And that's sort of what happened with Santos too, where the dude was like, I think he ended up loaning his campaign as much as like $700,000. Part of it, like the first, I think, $500,000 was all a lie. He basically reported it on his campaign finance report and then sort of waited a bit and then pulled in a bunch of money from somebody else that he'd then sort of loaned to the campaign on the DL several months after the fact. Like the whole thing looks so shady and funnily. And we've had that conversation about the OnlyFans thing where I'm just like, $50,000 like seems like a cap, right? Like $50,000 seems like a salary that somebody has. Like why do you stop? That's where you stop, right? So I think he's funneling it to somebody. And I mean, that's part of the DOJ investigation. I think the DOJ is gonna come back and be like, he gave $50,000 to, you know, his husband or somebody.
Well, that does sound plausible. I mean, because he looks like a guy who would pay. That's not nice of me.
I know.
No, he
but
does.
You know
he does look
funny?
Like a guy who would pay to see somebody on OnlyFans.
He said today he didn't know what OnlyFans was, that somebody had to tell him once he entered Congress. And don't you know that poor staffer? Like, just imagine that, like, 23-year-old who's just like, Mom, today I had to tell a congressman what OnlyFans was. Right? Like, that's your day. Right? Except I'm pretty sure he knew what it was, and I'm pretty sure he was funneling money through it.
Look, maybe he raised the $500,000 on OnlyFans. Maybe he's one of the top models. Who knows?
Maybe. I will say, from all that Botox, he's got the smoothest forehead in Congress.
Ouch. I'm not even going to touch that one. Not going to touch it. Not going to do it. You're not going to drag me into the gutter. I'm not going to allow it. First OnlyFans, and now his forehead. It's not right.
It's a lot of Botox, man.
It's a lot of Botox. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Your buddy Michael Cohen, am I getting this argument right? He's saying that his probation should end because he thinks Trump's going to win re-election and, well, he's screwed like the rest of us. Is that the argument?
Well, his argument is that he's been cooperating with prosecutors for the last, you know, 2 years. And up until, I think, this year, that has mostly been behind closed doors, right? Like, he's been cooperating with the attorney general and with the Alvin Bragg in Manhattan. I'm sure he's doing some with special counsel Jack Smith as well. But the thing is he, I mean, you saw the dude testify for 2 days, or like 11 hours or something like that. And so he consistently has been going to the judge and saying, look, like, I'm doing everything that you want me to. I've got all the points from the whatever, you know, act thing for prisoners. And, you know, I've done everything And I'm cooperating with everyone, at the very least, like, cut down my probation a little bit.
Yeah, or at least make a caveat that if Trump's elected, that I'm done before he takes office.
Right. Well, I mean, the good news is I think the cap is November of 24. So even if Trump wins, it'll be January before he's inaugurated and Cohen will be safe.
Okay.
But the thing is he's basically like, look, I've done two of the 3 years and you're not applying any of the points that I've gotten from the, the Recidivism Act, whatever the thing was that Trump signed in 2018 that lets you get days off of your sentence. He's been like hardcore on that thing. He's kept, a decent job. He's doing the thing, and I get it. Like, if it was somebody else, they'd be like, good on you. Good for you. Go ahead. You've done 2 of the 3 years, rock on with your bad self. But, it's sad because it's like the dude has dealt with enough. And, again, like he's basically the one who was left holding the bag for Donald Trump's hush money.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, let the guy have his life,
Yeah. But then there's a part of me. Now, look, I get what you're saying. There's a part of me that goes, he was Donald Trump's fixer. Do you know how many people he's strong-armed and he stuck it to it? This is like karma coming back and biting him in the behind. That
it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but look, I also sympathize. Because I think he is trying to make amends and do the right thing. I think he's trying to get back somewhere near the straight and narrow. But I don't know. There's still part of me goes, I don't know.
I know. You have to figure out, like, where is that line? Like, what needs to be done before I'm satisfied with this, idea that he's no longer in the cult and he's done whatever he can do, to earn back the trust of the world. And, I mean, the books that he's published and the stuff that he's come out about and, the fact that he's constantly dealing with threats and intimidation, yeah. Like, and his family.
No, so, I get it. Look, it's the reason that Joe Walsh and I are friendly. Joe Walsh was in Congress, if you would have told me back during the Tea Party years that Joe Walsh and I would be friendly.
Right? For real.
Come on. Not just smoking. What are you mainlining?
Yeah. And I know that there's this idea of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But the thing is that a lot of these people who were our perceived enemies have turned into people who are still fighting for the right thing, regardless of whether or not we agree on stuff.
Right.
Like Cheney's book is going to come out on Tuesday at midnight, because, I'm going to be awake at Tuesday at midnight, like downloading the thing and having to read it by 6 a.m. And I think, looking at people like her and other folks who have been willing to take the bullet, essentially.
Yeah.
And
she's still a Cheney, though. I struggle with that, too.
I know, right? Like, how much of the sins of the father, right? and especially the gay thing with her for a long time. It's like, come on, your sister was a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no.
Why be anti-LGBT for as long as she was?
I'm right there with you. Finally, I got to get your thoughts on the revelations of my congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry. Some interesting texts coming out that... Well, I had some people say, he's a sitting congressman, not accused of anything, so they shouldn't be. No, the guy was clearly part of what could have been treason.
Definitely. So he's doing all this coordination with Jeffrey Clark, who they were trying to get him to take over the Justice Department.
Yep.
And essentially declare the election null and void and pass it all back to the state legislatures so that the state legislatures could overthrow the election. Like, Scott Perry was in the middle of this. And there were, he was directly texting with Donald Trump, with Mark Meadows. I mean, not Donald Trump, but he was dictating text messages that were going to Donald Trump. And so this has been a big connection that I know the January 6th committee wanted to track down. But Scott Perry was like, yeah, I'm not going to comply with your subpoena. It was the same thing that Jim Jordan did. What was so interesting is that when, like, Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows did the same thing, they're like, yeah, we're going to, what's his name? Peter, whatever, the angry ball. But all of them, you know, who are unwilling to comply with the subpoena were held in contempt. Steve Bannon's going to have to do 4 months and, you know, in the clink.
Yeah.
But people like Scott Perry, they let him off. The DOJ hasn't.
One of the things that caught my attention is, you know, Clark evidently, according to what's been reported in Politico, Clark reportedly said to, as they were going through, you know, his Bing appointment, he says, you know, I'm praying. This makes me quite nervous and wonder if I'm worthy or ready. And Scott, pardon me, Perry, my congressman replied, you are the man. I have confirmed it. God does what he does for a reason. And I'm going, why would you pull God into this?
It's so gross. That is like the grossest thing. I hate it when people do that. But, you know, that's how you know you're really in a cult, is when you start using God to justify your own bad behavior.
There it is. Sarah, great stuff. As always, appreciate the time.
Have an awesome week.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work, rawstory.com, the website. Quick break, right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1909. That was the day the British House of Lords rejected the People's Budget. The proposed budget plan was a product of the Liberal government headed by Prime Minister H.H. Asquith. This budget was championed by the Chancellor of Exchequer, David Lloyd George, and the President of the Board of Trade, a young Winston Churchill. The goal of the budget was to shift more of the tax burden to the wealthy. Lloyd George introduced the budget to Parliament. He praised the budget, declaring, "This is a war budget. It is for raising money to wage implacable warfare against poverty and squalidness." The budget included tax increases for higher incomes to fund welfare reforms. The budget also called for a rise in the inheritance tax. These increases were relatively modest. The most controversial aspect of the People's Budget was a hike on taxes on land sales. This would have had an impact on large landowners. Since many conservatives were large landowners, they opposed the budget. The House of Lords was allowed to reject the budget but could not amend a money bill. They had not rejected a budget for more than two centuries. King Edward VII privately urged that the budget be passed to avoid a crisis. The public clamored for the passage of the budget plan, but the House of Lords vetoed it. The House of Lords eventually capitulated and passed the budget the following April. Resistance to a progressive income tax structure and raising the tax rates on the wealthy is not unique to the British Parliament. Similar tax proposals have been offered in the United States and have been met with stiff opposition from conservatives in our Congress. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Remember, check out the website, bookmark it. Never forget the website. Did you ever see that South Park video with Planet Arium, or when Mr. Garrison leaves the room? You know, then the brainwashing begins. That's what I want you to think of when, you know, anytime. TheRickSmithShow.com. That's what you do. Grab the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Get ours, and they will be there. You get to hear people like Sarah and more. Now here's some fun and entertainment. The Republican folks in the National Committee, they are trying to consider how they can, I don't know, shake up the debates a little bit. Maybe because they've found out what a flop it has been thus far. And my mind started going into weird places because they got to pull people in who don't qualify because of their weird things. So I thought, you know, like a TV telethon, you know, maybe a lottery, you know, just pull people out of the crowd as you're walking into the debate. Maybe have a number under a seat. You know, whatever, you know, go, just grab random people and have them run for Republican, you know, nominee, because none of them are going to get it. And look, you might pull some schmo, you might pull me off the street and go, hey, run for Republican presidential nomination. And I would probably do better than those idiots are doing. But still not have a chance against Trump, because here's the thing. Trump's going to be the nominee. Even if he is convicted, because guess what? The RNC rules don't address anything with a nominee convicted of a crime. Even a felony. So they're stuck with him. And I don't care all the shaking up in the world, not going to make those debates any better. Sorry, no celebrity debate or no apprenticeship debate or any of that. You're stuck with Trump. You wanted it, you got it. Anyway, if you missed any portion of the program, podcast. If I said something that got under your nerves, under your skin, I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.